Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
When you read through the Bible, you'll come across some words that catch your attention sometimes. And recently, in reading through the Bible, a couple of times I came across this word rottenness. You know, rottenness shows up in Proverbs chapter 12. Rottenness shows up again in Proverbs chapter 14. And when you read the proverb of the day, you keep coming across this every month, twice a month. And so I thought, well, I would check that word out and see where else it appears in the Bible and see what the context is. And quite frankly, there's quite a message concerning the word rottenness. There are several things in the Bible that will cause rottenness, and we want to see what those are today. Rottenness, first of all, is caused by a bad wife. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 4. Rottenness is caused by a bad wife. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Well, then, very simply, we could say these two things. Don't be a bad wife, and don't choose a bad wife. Make it simple. You know, if a woman that makes her husband ashamed is as rottenness in his bones, then don't make him ashamed. You say, oh, I know, but I'm struggling with that. All right, well, get over yourself and quit doing that. All of us have had to come to that Bible and read it and find out where we have been reproved and instructed by those words, and we've had to make changes in accordance with what the Bible says. And if you have been making your husband ashamed, you can change that. You say, well, it's going to be hard. Most of the things that are worth doing are hard. And if you're not married yet, and you've got your eye on a pretty woman, but she has these things about her that make her not quite the virtuous woman that you hoped her to be, but she's pretty and you're hoping that all that beauty will make up for it, let me tell you something. Oh, my, you are in for a handful, my friend. Don't choose a bad wife. Doesn't make a difference how pretty she is. Haven't you seen what's going on in Hollywood? They seem to get pretty wives. I mean, I say that, well enough to be chosen to be leads in acting and so forth, and they can't keep their marriages together. And what's the problem there? So don't be a bad wife, and don't choose a bad wife. A bad wife is one that'll make you ashamed, okay? Now, there is a greater problem in this verse of Scripture than just your individual marriage. And the greater problem here is that the church is the bride of Christ. And as long as the church was virtuous, she was a crown to her husband. But today, I'm afraid that the church is a wife that maketh ashamed. That's right. The church today is as rottenness in the bones of the Lord. You say, well, how could that possibly be? Because the Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, that when you get saved, you become a member of the body of Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. You see, in the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, it is very important for us to be virtuous so we can be a crown to our husband. But today, when you see what has happened to the church, to those who claim the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're making Jesus ashamed. They won't believe his words. They won't follow what he says. You know, a virtuous woman is obedient to her husband. They're not obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're obedient to their own lusts. They're obedient to their own plans. The church is a bad wife today. I mean, those who name the name of Christ and profess to be Christians, they're in it for the money, they're in it for the glory, they're in it for the growth, they're in it for anything personal to make them look good. They're not in it for Jesus Christ, not for his glory, not anymore. Not a virtuous woman. A woman that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. I can't fathom how deeply the Lord Jesus Christ must be hurt by what his bride is doing in his name down here today. It's a shame. It is a shame. That's what he says. She that maketh ashamed, it's a shame. It really is. Rottenness is not only caused by a bad wife, but the Bible shows us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, that rottenness is caused by envy. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. You see, when you envy others, envy eats you from the inside out. That's right. That envy is not just covetousness, but it despises the person who has what you want and has a tendency to want to bring them down. It's associated with malice and harm that could be brought to that other person. And it starts working on your body. And like all those other subtle little things, you don't realize that you are paying the price today. And the reason you don't realize you're paying the price today is that it is not reflected in your account until down the road, when your health is gone because your bones are rotten. It's not reflected in your account until later on down the road when you get to the judgment seat of Christ and he had been harping on you about getting rid of that envy and you wouldn't do it, and now you're paying for it at the judgment seat of Christ. When you envy others, envy eats you from the inside out. But listen. There's a greater problem here today. The church is envious against sinners. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17 says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." And the church is envying sinners today. Do you remember Asaph? Asaph is one of the song leaders back in the Old Testament. And he wrote some psalms. One particularly is in Psalm 73. And you know what he says in Psalm 73? He said in verse 3, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know what he's admitting? He is admitting that in his service of the Lord, in the place where he was, chief among the singers, that he saw how the wicked got along compared to how he was getting along serving the Lord, and he envied them. And he expressed his envy in about 14 or 15 verses. But then he says in verse 16, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end." And when he understood that, then he was like, "Oh man, have I been foolish." He says in verse 22, "So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." You know why? Because he was envying sinners. That's a real problem. Now listen. Today, the church is envious against sinners. The church has adopted the world's marketing strategies in order to see big growth and business models in order to branch out and spread out in their market share. The church has adopted the world's fundraising gimmicks, ways to get up crowds and ways to get their money. The church has adopted the world's music to attract the world. Now, when you use the world's music to attract the world, you can't suddenly change that music to change the world. And so you now have the world in your church, and you're never going to get rid of it. The church has adopted the world's dress. You can't, I mean, those who profess to be Christians and members of mega churches today, you couldn't possibly tell the difference between them and everybody else that's in the world. There's no distinction. There's no separation. The church has adopted the world's disdain for God's words. People in pulpits today using modern Bibles that have been produced by scholars that don't have the voice of the Spirit of God in them, or if so, much weakened than the powerful voice of the Spirit of God in the King James Bible. And why did they do that? All because of envy. And that envy is rotting the church out from the very bones. You say, in what way? We are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ represents the full stature of Christ. And what's down in the foundation of that thing is envy against sinners. And it is rotting out the bones of the very body that Christ is building here in the earth. Rottenness is caused by a bad wife, and unfortunately the church has become one of those. Rottenness is caused by envy, and the church has done that. But that's not all. Rottenness is caused by licentiousness. Oh, you say, that's a big word. We'll define it. Licentiousness. Listen, just because it's a big word doesn't mean it oughtn't to be used. It's used in the Bible. You say, well, I don't know what it means. Look it up. Get a dictionary. Don't be slothful. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes work to study the Bible. It's not very hard. You've got a dictionary on your little iPhone. Flip in there, type in L-I-C-E-N-T. That option for licentiousness will come up. Hit it and see what it says. I'll save you the effort. Licentious means marked by the absence of legal or moral restraints. Licentious means hostile or offensive to accepted standards of conduct. Licentious means marked by neglect or disregard for strict rules of correctness. You know where you see this? You see it in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. God gave the law to Israel. In Isaiah chapter 5, Israel cast the law behind its back. Isaiah chapter 5, begin with me in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See, they're contrary. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness. Now, you know, if your plant has a rotten root, it's going to die. The fire devoureth the stubble, the fire consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Why? Because they have cast away the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, when they cast the word of God, the law of God behind them, when they flipped it and said, evil is good and good is evil, you know what they did? They went to licentiousness. Basically, licentiousness has at its root the word license. And basically, you have a license when you're saved by grace to do anything you want to do. That's the way they're acting. They were contrary. You see, they called evil good and good evil. That's where we are in society. Now, it's good to have same-sex marriage when the Bible said it's an abomination. See? Now it's called woman's reproductive health. It's good, see, to kill your baby, when in the Bible that's not good. It's evil. And that's where we are in society. Now it's good to smoke dope. See, there's medical good medical reason for it. Yeah. And just a few years ago, it was evil. What happened? It flipped. You see what all those things are? Licentiousness. The license to kill, the license to marry abominably, and the license to dope yourself. But there's a greater problem. The church has done the same thing. Churches preach and practice licentiousness. You say, how is that? They say, come as you are. Do as you please. Be whatever you want to be. God loves you. And so they've cast God's law behind their back. They say, it doesn't make any difference. We're not going to preach against any sin. No, we're going to love you and bring you in, and we're going to show you that, hey, you just be what you are, do as you please, come as you are. It's all good. It's all good. God loves you no matter what. It's all good. And it's not all good. And you know it's not all good, not if you read that Bible. Licentiousness like that is not, that's not God, that's man. And that's why the Lord puts that word in there, so you'll know what the problem is. Listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But let me tell you something, that liberty never exists. Contrary to the law, the Holy Spirit never does anything to violate the Word of God. People don't get the idea that liberty has legal constraint and is still liberty. But boy, when you read that Bible, you understand it. Listen, when you read through this Bible, you know what you find out? That liberty is not contrary to the law of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verses 44 and 45. Look it up. Psalm 119, verses 44 and 45. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Do you see that? There is liberty within God's law, and there is liberty with the Spirit of God. And when it goes to licentiousness, that's not the Spirit of God. And that's not the law of God. You know what that is? That's licentiousness. It's what they did in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 to 24. And you can't go there. You can't go there. It is rottenness. It'll destroy it from the core. Why? Because there's no standard of righteousness. The book is the standard of righteousness. Jesus Christ is the standard of righteousness. But he's not observed that way. He's not regarded that way. Cast behind the back. Rottenness is caused by a bad wife. Rottenness is, so don't get one, don't be one. Rottenness is caused by envy. Don't envy sinners. They got more than you do. Be content with Jesus Christ. They don't have him. Rottenness is caused by licentiousness. Don't you allow yourself the liberty to sin and think somehow or another God's all right with it. He's not. And then this, rottenness is caused by the Lord. You say, what? Yes, rottenness is caused by the Lord. You say, where is that? It's in the Bible. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5, look at verses 12 and 13. Hosea chapter 5, look at verses 12 and 13. Now, what's going on here is that Ephraim has turned from the Lord. They are following the spirit of whoredoms. Okay? And in verse 12, therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. This is the Lord talking. I will be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. You know what the problem was? God put that on him. God put the sickness in there. God put the wound in there. It was incurable. He said, I will be to the house of Judah as rottenness. Ephraim turned from the Lord. Judah turned from the Lord. And what happened? The Lord himself turned away from them. He rotted them out. But when you think about the context of what we've been saying so far, can you see the greater problem? If the Lord turns against his people, I'm talking about in the church, and don't think for a moment that he won't, then his rottenness that is already apparent in the church will corrupt her completely. You say, would God literally turn against his own people? Yes, if they turn against him. I don't mean from the standpoint of breaking his covenant where you lose your salvation. Not that at all. But have you ever read Romans chapter 11 when he's talking about Gentiles that have been grafted in to the olive tree? Look what he says in Romans chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. That will say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You saw what he did to Israel. And there he's speaking to the church. Look at Revelation chapter 3. You say, I don't think the Lord would ever do something like that to his people. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Look at verses 15 through 17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's written to a church. This rottenness is already apparent in the church. And it will corrupt her completely if the Lord says, that's it. You know what that is? That's what Paul called the falling away first. Have you ever read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? I'm sure you have. Somehow or another, people just get saved, and the first two things they find out about are 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and the book of Revelation. That's a strange thing, you know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's what we're talking about. The Lord, as rottenness to his own people, just like he was to Judah. Oh, that's awful. Yes, it is. But I want to show you one more. Rottenness is caused by a bad wife, and right now the church is not a very good wife to the Lord. Rottenness is caused by envy. Not very good. The church has been envying sinners. Rottenness is caused by licentiousness. The church is off its foundation, following after sinners these days. Rottenness is caused by the Lord. He's allowing it to just eat away at the foundation. But one more, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Go back to your Old Testament and notice this real quickly. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. The last thing that causes rottenness is prophecy. Prophecy. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16 is a prophecy concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, when I heard, talking about the prophecy, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Prophecy. Habakkuk saw what was coming, and it ate on him. And you and I can see what's coming, and it has the same effect on us. I thank the Lord for the rapture. I really do. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ is coming. And I'm so thankful to be saved, and I'm so thankful to know that you and I are going up with him. However, it is very sad to see what was once such a vibrant church in a God-fearing country become what it has today. The things of the Lord are so torn up in sin, and according to these prophecies, they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And when they do, these horrible things that you've seen prophesied, you know what they do? They work on you. They work on me. Don't you preach righteousness? Don't you make public testimony before the Lord and others of the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you pass out tracts? Don't you stand for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Doesn't it just ache your soul to see what's happened to your country? Doesn't it just ache your soul to see what is now called the church? Now you find when you're sitting there talking to people, sinners trying to lead them to Christ, you have to defend the actions of others against the Bible in order just to get the person off of his criticism about what the church looks like today so you can talk to him individually about his own soul. It's a sad thing, and it rots your bones. You know, rottenness is a subtle kind of destruction because it works from the inside out. You see, you don't often see rottenness until the thing that is rotting is so shot through that then it just falls down. However, in spite of the fact that it's hard to detect and it works from the inside out, it is very evident in the church today. And as a result of that, I want to give you an exhortation, an admonition. Don't let rottenness ruin you. And don't let rottenness ruin your church. Okay, so the guy in town is stealing some folks of yours because he's got the big jazz thing going on. Listen, don't go the way of the world in order to hang on what's left of your people. Don't let this envy ruin your church. Be virtuous in the bride of Christ. Be a crown to your husband Jesus Christ. Don't envy sinners just because it looks like they're prosperous and successful. Don't adapt any of their ways. You stay by what God said in that book. Don't go the way of licentiousness. Don't drop the Bible standards so that the people feel a little more at ease. Listen, once that begins to slip, it'll all go down. And don't turn against the Lord. Don't turn against the Lord. Occupy till he comes. Rottenness is a terrible thing. Now, you won't know it hits you until you've already fallen down. If you stay aware of these things and away from these things, then God will bless you abundantly. I pray this message has been a help to you personally, and I pray that it's been a help to you in your church. Let us please stand with our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.